Listening Library presents A Map of Days, the fourth novel of Miss Peregrine's Peculiar Children by Ransom Riggs. Read for you by Kirby Hayborn. Look for the bonus PDF with haunting vintage photographs that accompanies this recording. Prologue. Never have I doubted my soundness of mind as often as I did on that first night when the bird woman and her wards came to save me from the madhouse. That's where I was going, pinned between beefy uncles and the back seat of my parents' car, when a wall of peculiar children seemed to leap directly from my imagination into the driveway before us, aglow in our high beams like a formation of angels. We skidded to a stop. A wave of dust erased everything beyond our windshield. Had I conjured their echo, some flickering hologram projected from deep within my brain? Anything seemed more believable than my friends being here now. Peculiars had a way of making anything seem possible, but a visit from them was one of the few impossibilities of which I could still be certain. It had been my choice to leave Devil's Acre, to go home again, where my friends couldn't follow. I had hoped that in returning I might sew together the disparate threads of my life, the normal and the peculiar, the ordinary and the extraordinary. Another impossibility. My grandfather had tried to sew his lives together too, and failed, estranged in the end from both his peculiar family and his normal one. In refusing to choose one kind of life over the other, he had doomed himself to lose both, just as I was about to. I looked up to see a figure moving toward us through the clearing dust.
"Who the hell are you?"
my dad said.
"Alma Le Fay Peregrine," she replied, "Imbrin Council Leader Pro Tem and headmistress to these peculiar children. We've met before, though I don't expect you'd remember. Children, say hello."
Chapter 1. It's strange what the mind can digest and what it resists. I had just survived the most surreal summer imaginable, skipping back to bygone centuries, taming invisible monsters, falling in love with my grandfather's time-arrested ex-girlfriend. But only now, in the unexceptional present in suburban Florida, in the house I'd grown up in, was I finding it hard to believe my eyes. Here was Enoch, splayed upon our beige sectional, sipping Coke from my dad's Tampa Bay Buccaneers tumbler. Here was Olive, unstrapping her lead shoes to float ceilingward and ride circles on our fan. Here were Horace and Hugh in our kitchen, Horace studying the photos on the fridge door while Hugh rustled for a snack. Here was Claire, both mouths slack as she gazed at the great black monolith of our wall-mounted television. Here was Millard, my mother's decor magazines rising from the coffee table and splitting in midair as he skimmed them, the shape of his bare feet imprinted into our carpet. It was a mingling of worlds I'd imagined a thousand times, but never dreamed possible. But here it was, my before and after, colliding with the force of planets. Millard had already tried to explain to me how it was possible they could be here, apparently safe and unafraid. The loop collapse that had nearly killed us all in Devil's Acre had reset their internal clocks. He didn't quite understand why, only that they were no longer in danger of sudden catastrophic aging if they stayed too long in the present. They would get older one day at a time, just like I did, their debt of years seemingly forgiven, as if they hadn't spent most of the 20th century reliving the same sunny day. It was undoubtedly a miracle, a breakthrough unprecedented in peculiar history, and yet how it had come to be was not half as amazing to me as the fact that they were here at all, that beside me stood Emma, lovely, strong Emma, her hand entwined with mine.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?